for my next song.
Good morning. On my way to church this morning, I got to thinking about worship because that's probably my favorite part of my relationship with the Lord, is worship. Because I love singing, I love hearing music, and I love that that's a way to connect with my Savior. And then this popped into my heart, and I think it probably came from the Lord, but when we come together like this, I really still think that worship is a one-on-one. And I think that we have an opportunity for our hearts to connect with Jesus. And when that happens, when everybody is doing that, that's when corporation happens with worship. So I want everybody, if you will, just to shut your eyes and I want you to get a picture in your mind of the Lord. You know, you've seen pictures on kids' books and all that stuff, but whatever God looks like to you in your heart, just picture him. And then I want you to pretend that you have a camera that you're taking his picture, but he is so big. He is so much bigger than anything that you have to kind of zoom out in so that you can see him. And I want you to imagine, as you're shutting your eyes and seeing the Lord, I want you to imagine every issue that you may have, every pain that's in your heart, every hurt that you still feel, and whoever may need healing, or whoever may need, you know, God to just take an addiction from them, or whoever may need a restoration to his heart. I want you to see that he is bigger than all of that. And in that, as he sweeps away all of those things, I want you to imagine walking toward him. And as you do, his arms are enveloping you, and you're just there in the midst of his arms. We used to sing a song that says, "Lay back against you and breathe." And I love what that word picture does in my mind, because sometimes I'm so weary or so sick or so sad that just laying back against him and being that close to him, he just points out every little thing and he wipes it off so that I can just rest against him. So Father, this morning, help us, each one of us, to connect with you. Help us, God, not to be distracted by people walking in late or people going to get coffee or our phone or whatever it may be. God, help us to personally connect with you, to walk towards you, recognizing you're bigger than every issue that we have. And help us just to rest in your loving embrace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Valley.
when I feel the blaze when I don't. I'll praise cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, oh, I won't be quiet. My God is alive.
Hallelujah.
except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
When I have walked through sorrow and pain.
given up on me, 'cause I still believe you are powerful. I still believe you do miracles. You've never given up on me. You've never given up on me.
Take a moment and say that to yourself. You've never given up on me. Lord, you've never given up on me. Sometimes it feels, and the circumstances show different than that, but it's the truth. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He's never given up on us. Yes, Lord, we choose to still believe that you are wonderful, Lord. We choose, Lord, to still believe that you are powerful, Lord. Lord, we choose to still believe that you do miracles. You do miracles, Lord. So, Lord, we're asking for miracles, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we're asking for miracles, God, in our families' lives. Especially those that don't know you, Lord, those that are strayed from you, those that maybe have never heard the gospel, Lord. We pray that you would let them experience the miracle of salvation. I believe that's the greatest miracle that we can receive is salvation, Lord, where you have bought us back, you have purchased us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that one more time. I still believe.
I still believe. Through it all, I still believe. You are wonderful. You've never given up on me. So I still
us right now, Lord. We just commit this time to you, Lord. We commit the rest of this service, Lord. We commit our fellowship, Lord. We commit, Lord, every aspect, Lord, of our lives and communication and our interfacing with you, Lord. Commit the word, Lord, to you, God. We just ask that your perfect will, your plans will be fulfilled here today. Touch every heart and every life, Lord, that is here, and Lord, those that are hearing online, Lord, touch their hearts, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that changes lives, and you're changing our lives, Lord. You're helping us to become more like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, greet someone, hug on a neck. Some coffee. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Good morning again. We are going to do our declaration today, and it's the heart of the house. And I did this at the other church, but I'm going to do it again this way. Does this open, babe? That's all right.
There you go.
All right. The window's open. I want our declaration to whoosh, and we're going to speak it over Selah as well as our house, yeah? So everybody, if you'll stand, there's power of life in our tongue. Amen? Oh, I love you. Okay, so here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. That God is working in our waiting. That our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves. That we will cultivate a right heart and a right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Father, we do declare that in the name of Jesus. We declare life in Yakima, life in Selah, life in one life family worship, God. And Father, we pray that what we do and as we do it, it would be pleasing to you, God. Father, we want our city saved for you, God. So Father, I pray that you would ignite that in our spirits. And Jesus, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Am I continuing? Well, there's only one announcement. Thank you for giving. Okay, so I know that I repeat myself like every 6 months, but that's okay. You guys don't mind, right? So it's not on?
There it is.
Oh, sorry. I was talking without it being on. I love this part of worship. And the reason that I do is because it has to be your heart that is moved by God. Many years ago, I was sharing with my husband and our dear friends, Mike and Dee Dee Gobb. Mike has since gone on to be with the Lord, but we were talking with them one night, and I told them that I really felt in my heart that we needed to quit taking an offering. You know how the ushers get up, walk forward, everybody prays, and then they pass the basket or the bag or whatever. I said, I think God wants us to stop counting because that kind of puts him in a box. And so we decided that we were going to get something for the front of the church and then something out the back so people could just, as part of their worship, give to the Lord. And a couple Sundays later, in walks Mr. Gobb with this beautiful treasure. It's a I call it the treasure chest. It's got a hole in the top. You can put your money in. But what I love about it is that his heart agreed that, yes, this is good. And so from that time, we don't really count offering. We just put the offering in the bank to help keep the lights on, help us buy coffee creamer, you know, the things that matter. But we stopped counting. We stopped pinning God in. So today, as you hear this offering message that I'm bringing, just, it's between you and God. And just ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And let it be something between you and him. Amen? So those that give, thank you so much. It helps us so tremendously. And we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And for those of you that don't, my challenge to you is for you to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah, amen? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone. Oh, Tim's walking out. Oh, yes. Eric and Nancy are at Cross Point. Is that what it is? Cross Point? Yes. And they're with Chris and what? Cara Romero. And they have been the youth pastors there at that church. And it's going to be their last Sunday there. And Chris is preaching. So they wanted to go and support him and love on them and just let them know that they're on their side. So that's good. It's good when we can show our love for the body of Christ, especially those that are going through transition and change. Praise the Lord. Well, this has been fun preaching the parable series. And how many know, like, how many parables there are? There's a lot of parables. So this is going to be probably, like, you know, 20-something messages. And there, it could be less. Like last week, I incorporated two parables together that really kind of linked together. So that was one. It was two. So still going to be a while. And every now and then, you know, I'll have something or someone will have something that's not necessarily in the parable series. But one thing about these parables that I'm picking up on and have my whole life is that they have a way of communicating things from God that, like, just words just don't do. And it's the way that stories work. Stories enable us to, for some reason, connect to truths that are very difficult sometimes to try to pick up on. And today, the parable is a little difficult. So that's hopefully you guys will be able to have the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. But today's the power of preparation. The power of preparation. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that as we come to your word, and Lord, especially this one that is the parable, Lord, of the 10 virgins, Lord, that you would allow our hearts to receive truths, Lord, that are in them, each and every one of us, Lord, that it receive the truth, Lord, that you have for us. And Lord, that you'd help us to be people that can prepare our hearts, that can prepare our lives, Lord. People that are watchful, people, Lord, that truly live a believing life, Lord. Not just call ourselves Christians, Lord, but live as believers. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, we have this parable. And this parable I've shared at different times in Bible studies and stuff. I don't know if I've ever preached it on a Sunday. And if I did, I probably would have went down a different road, because I'm using this message, this parable, to communicate the idea of preparation, but it has a lot of other truths in it. So that's why I said, Holy Spirit, speak to each and every one of our hearts. But it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So right off the bat, we understand that this is talking about what? The kingdom of heaven. This isn't just talking about, you know, just an ordinary life. This is talking about a kingdom life, in the dominion of God, in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven will be like. So in other words, it's going to be similar to, it's going to be likened unto these 10 virgins. And it says 5 of them were foolish. So right off the bat, we get this idea that 5 weren't measuring up and that 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps, or started trimming their lamps. They started lighting up their lamps because it was midnight and they needed light to see. So we have this first half of this parable, and we see these two dynamics. We see a 5 that are basically kind of going through the flow. Yeah, we're bridesmaids. We've got our lamps. We probably have enough oil, you know, because we don't know what times he's coming. Maybe he's going to come during the day. Maybe I don't need oil. Who knows, right? Because he could have came any time. So they were, you know, thinking that they were okay. But the Bible and Jesus is calling them foolish. The other 5 are carrying extra oil. Now, I don't know how they carried extra oil. They probably carried it in some kind of a bag, you know, like what you carry like water in or something like that, or some kind of container. But they brought extra oil with them. And so it sounds like they're at some place waiting now for the bridegroom to come. And so it's midnight, and here comes the bridegroom. And the ones who are foolish, and the ones who are ready, all trim their lamps. So they're all preparing for the bridegroom. Then we see in verse 8, then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." Oh. So their lamps are going out because why? They didn't bring enough oil. They weren't prepared for the bridegroom coming at midnight, were they? They were hoping that maybe they had enough oil to get them through if it was, you know, maybe early morning. And then, so they're realizing we're in trouble. But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." I didn't really think about this till just now, but it's midnight. I wonder what shop owner they're going to wake up in the middle of the night to get oil, right? So the lack of preparedness, the lack of getting ready, is really putting them in a difficult spot. Now they have to go and hopefully try to find somebody in time to wake them up and get enough oil so that they can go to be with the bridegroom. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready, get that, who were ready, who were prepared, went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was closed. And the door closed was locked. The door was locked. The door was locked. There we go. Sorry. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids came, or returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you, so you too must keep watch." Now, he's telling these bridesmaids, "I don't know you." he ends it there, and then he's telling who's ever listening, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. So again, like I said, there's all kinds of truths in this. There's the truth about preparation. There's a truth about not really taking our life seriously, you know, and realizing that we need to be prepared for any moment. There's the truth of these bridesmaids who were ready and the ones that weren't. But I believe the greatest truth in this is for us as believers, as his believers, as he was speaking to that day, that they would be ready for what was coming. That they would be watchful, that they would keep their guard up, that they would be sober-minded. And I believe all of those truths are in this message. So this word preparation, it's usually used as a verb, but can also be like a noun. It says the act or operation of preparing or fitting for a particular purpose, use, service, or condition, as the preparation of land for a crop of wheat, the preparation of troops for a campaign for war, the preparation of a nation for war, the preparation of men for future happiness. And I like this part. Preparation is intended to prevent evil or secure good. So if you think about it, when we're prepared, it's like we're ready for something, right? I mean, if you're not prepared and something comes up where it took that preparation, all of a sudden you're kind of suffering loss because you're not participating, whatever it was. There's times that, you know, I've gone to certain events and I didn't take, you know, like a bathing suit, you know, because, you know, I didn't prepare with a bathing suit to go to like somebody's house and, hey, we got a swimming pool, you can swim, you know, and they mentioned it, but I forgot to bring one. And, you know, I don't swim much anymore, but in the early days, like, oh, I forgot my swimming suit. I wasn't prepared to enjoy the swimming. Here's one that really can get me. We're as I said last week, we're going to be moving here in probably within the next month, right? And so we're starting to pack things. We're starting to put things into. We like to use these clear containers. I hate boxes. If people would say, oh, Pastor, I brought you, but don't bring me boxes because you don't know what's in the box. Because someone, you know, marks on there, this is for the kitchen, and that box ends up in the bedroom, and then you're saying, oh, that's a kitchen box. That's again. Then a year later, you open it up. Oh, no, that was the bedroom's box. That wasn't the kitchen. So anyway, a clear tub, you can see what's in there and kind of look at it. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, when you have people that are going to come over, because I've helped a lot of people move. I don't know if I have a record, but I've helped a lot of people move in my life. And it's just something that, you know, I kind of got the gift of help. So I like doing it. And I've organized, you know, groups together so we can move people. And if you ever need help, give me a call and I'll make sure that we can get a crew together for you. But it would always frustrate me when we get to someone's house, it's move day, and they didn't pack. They didn't prepare by putting their stuff in boxes. It can be in boxes. I don't care. But that their cupboards are still full, and we're now packing them. We were supposed to just move them. And so now we're packing, and it really slows the process down. So if I'm ever going to help you move, please pack before. And if you come and help us on the day that we're moving and not everything's packed, we're just going to leave at the house and we'll go back and get it later on. What we're going to move is ready to go. But that's preparation, right? And it's important. So you can tell I've got a little pet peeve about that. Sorry. So I want to bring up a first point is that the Lord has made preparations for us. Start with that. The Lord has made preparations for us. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? I'm glad you asked. If we go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10, it says that that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So God has prepared something for all of us. Why? Because he loves us. And our mind hasn't conceived it, our eye hasn't seen it, our ear hasn't heard it. Now, it says in the next verse that we have the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit reveals things like that to us. But without the Holy Spirit, we don't know all the great things that God has prepared for us. Some things we've already seen in our lives. When you get saved, you start to see the good things that God prepared for you. But I believe the greatest thing that has been prepared for us is when we go to be with Him. When we leave this life. That's when we're going to say, oh man, you've been busy. You've been preparing things for me. You've been looking for my arrival. Now, I don't know if He has to pack so that I can come there and I don't have to pack. But there may be things that He is preparing for us. And we'll see that there's another verse that, and here it is right here. We'll just go to it right now. John 4:1-3. You guys probably know this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. So Jesus is saying, I am going to prepare a place for you. He's obviously speaking to his 12 disciples right now. And that's who he's directing this to. But I'm receiving this word. Are you? That he's gone to prepare a place for me as well. It wasn't just for the disciples. It's for my life as well. And then this goes right back along. What God has prepared for those who love him. Praise God, right? God is up to stuff. Then if we go to 1 Peter, we see 1 Peter 1:8-10. You love him enough though you have never seen him. This is you. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. That's what we were singing about. Lord, I still believe through it all. I still believe you are wonderful. You're never giving up on me. That's what this is saying. You trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. Now, what does that mean? Well, it says that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth. So Jesus had prepared his salvation for all of us before even mankind even existed. Before the foundations of the earth even existed, Jesus prepared himself as the lamb that was slain. That gracious salvation that be prepared for you and prepared for me. Talk about the power of preparedness. God is demonstrating that to us. He has been the one who first prepared. He's prepared so that we could be his. He's prepared the world so that man could come and live here and have dominion over it. He prepared the world so that when Jesus came on the earth, his will was to be done and he went to the cross. He prepared the situation for the end times, for the very last day when the last soul is received in the kingdom and the last moment ticks on this earth. He's prepared the world for that end. Ephesians says this, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So even our very good works, God has prepared. Are the love that we show to people, the opportunities we have to reach people's lives, the opportunity we have to bless people with our finances, maybe people who are in difficult places in their life. God's prepared that for us to walk in it. So God has, as I said, the Lord has been making preparations for us. Are you glad? Are you glad? Yeah. It's part of our salvation. All of that preparation, and there's other things that he's preparing a city for us, that whose builder and maker is God, it says. Now, I don't know what kind of city it is. You know, in Revelation, we kind of have some idea. It's, you know, it says a city, I don't know if you guys know, but it's 1,600 miles wide. That's a big city, right? Guess what? It's 1,600 miles high. That's a really big city. I don't know how that elevator even gets to the top, 1,600 miles. I did a picture one time, if you know, and then 1,600 miles deep. That's what the Bible says. I did a picture once, and it shows that it takes up half the United States just to sit. And it's 1,600 miles, it's into space. So either it's some kind of, you know, metaphor, or God's preparing something huge for us. Yeah, the Lord has been making preparations. Now guess what? We are called to make preparations for Him. Yes. You know, He says, you can love me because I first love you. So we can make preparations because He made preparations for us. Because He loves us, we can love Him. Because He's prepared this life for us, we can prepare back. So how do we do that? How do we become people of preparation? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 3:1-3. This is kind of the very first time that the declaration was made of people being prepared for Jesus. This is John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. So John, that was his ministry, to prepare people's hearts to be able to receive the Messiah. And so for us, you know, there was a road prepared for us to be able to receive Messiah, receive Christ. Somebody, you know, shared a message. Somebody prayed for us. The Holy Spirit and the Father drew us. Whatever it was, we were prepared to be able to receive the Lord's coming into our life. And hopefully we've all embraced Him. You know, we're not just saying, well, you know, yeah, I got saved, but you know, he's kind of messing with my stuff. So I'll really serve Him in the future. But right now, you know, it's like, I got too many things on my plate. Anybody ever say that? He is the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for Him. And 1 Peter says it this way. This is the ESV version. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Peter is communicating to his group that he's sending this letter to, and now it's us. It's an encouragement that we need to prepare our minds. Now, how do we prepare our minds? Well, it's really easy. Oh, it's not easy. It's a simple instruction. It's difficult to do. We prepare our minds by renewing them. We prepare our minds by not being conformed or molded or subjected to the ways of this world. And we let our minds be renewed by the power of the Word of God. So really, we prepare our minds with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, the intimacy in our relationship we have with Jesus, all of those things prepares us so that we can be sober-minded and our hope is fully on that grace that will be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? That is when He comes back. That's when He returns. You know, when He left 2,000 years ago, He said, I'll be back. And it's been 2,000 years, and we're getting close to, you know, a couple of days. If you look at 1,000 years, is like a day to God. So it's only been a couple of days to God, you know. It hasn't been long at all. To us, it seems like, wow, where's the promise of His returning, you know, as Peter says in another place. 2 Timothy says this, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God. Approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Now, this is a admonition to Timothy. You can say, well, Timothy was an evangelist. Timothy was a preacher. That's not me. I'm still saying studying and being eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God is still what you're called to do. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're just someone that wants to live a life separated and sanctified to God. That's what it means to be sanctified, is that you're saying, I'm separating myself from the world system and I'm putting myself in your system, Lord. I'm putting myself in your hands. Amen? Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. This is another one. All scripture is inspired by God. Did you guys know that? There's some people right now that are out there and they're saying that, you know, well, you know, it's not necessarily inspired by God. The Bible is, you know, just kind of a hodgepodge of what different people think, you know, and it's not really an inherent word of God. It's just like people's opinions. I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Wow, is that ever a great description of the Word of God? It helps inspire us by God. It's useful to teach us the truths of God, and it makes us realize what's wrong in our lives. Kind of reminds me when it says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, and is a discerner of thoughts and bone and marrow, is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Basically reveals who we are and helps us see how we need to change. And it says, God uses it, what? The word, to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So, the power of preparation comes through a studying the Word. So if you don't read your Bible, it's going to be hard for you to be prepared for God's use. I hate to say it. Or let me put it this way. Maybe, you know, I got directed by the Lord one time to just stop reading my Bible because, I mean, I was like, you know, I did it more out of like duty. And the Lord told me, stop. You've been reading your Bible a long time. I want you to start taking the verses that you've hidden in your heart and meditate on those in the morning when you wake up. So I started reading the Bible back to me because it was already in my heart. And it started becoming alive. But I was still in the Word. And why? Because I want to be prepared for God. I want to say, Lord, you prepared all this for me. What can I do to prepare myself for you? And it's not just for him. It's for the whole world. Because we are Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ to this world. This lost and dying world needs people who have prepared themselves and that we're people to do every good work. And sometimes it's just saying to somebody, hey, God loves you. Sometimes it's just helping somebody who dropped their groceries at the store, and you're picking them up for them. You're just showing kindness. You're saying, well, what's that got to do? I didn't tell them about Jesus or anything. No, but you could leave there, and the Holy Spirit could use that moment and say, that person was a Christian, and they were just showing love right there. You don't know what the Holy Spirit can do when we're obedient to be kind and love. I think we forget sometimes that we're spiritual beings existing in a spiritual dimension and that God does spiritual things with our lives even if we don't see it. Amen? Okay, I got an amen that time. Good. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, 20 through 21. The God of peace brought the great shepherd of the sheep, who's that? Our Lord Jesus, back to life through the blood of an eternal promise. I love that. The blood of an eternal promise. It says it further up in 12, it says that this blood is speaking, and it's speaking better things than the blood of Abel. you guys don't know who the blood of Abel is, the blood of Abel was the righteous son of Adam and Eve, who basically offered to God the proper offering. And his brother Cain killed him with some kind of rock or whatever it was. And it said his blood was speaking from the ground. His innocent blood that was spilled was speaking from the ground. And it says that Jesus' blood speaks better things. What does it speak? You are righteous. You are holy. You are forgiven. You are mine. That's what Jesus' blood speaks. Abel's blood speaks, I want justice. Verse 21, may this God of peace prepare you to do every good thing he wants. May he work in us through Jesus Christ to do what is pleasing to him. Glory belongs to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This was the God's Word translation. So may this God of peace prepare you to do every good thing he wants. So I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Paul's saying, may God's grace and may his peace give you everything that you need in your life. Be prepared to do what he calls you to. Have any of you ever experienced like someone that you've been around a lot for whatever reason? Maybe you've worked with them, coworker or whatever it was. And there's times that, you know, like think, oh, should I talk to him about Jesus? You know, and you kind of think, or should I pray about this situation in their life? You know, it's like, but it's kind of like awkward because you're not sure, you know, about, you know, if they're going to receive it, you know, and you don't want to, you know, offend them. You go through all this leaping of these things in your mind, you know, kind of gymnastics of, okay, can I do it? Can I not do it? And then one day you go to work and that person died. And all of a sudden you're going like, oh man, did I do everything I could to help be every good thing in their life? Did I take those opportunities that God gave me? Was I used by you, Lord, or did I silence my heart because of fear or whatever it was? May the God of peace prepare you. May his peace prepare you for every good work. I know for me, that was, you know, and there's people that's happened in my life, and it's sad. Especially as like a preacher, especially as somebody that shares the gospel. And yet those mental gymnastics, is now the right time? Oh, you know, there's got to be a better time. There'll be a better time that, you know, we'll be alone. I mean, whatever it is. But it's like you kind of felt like I should say something here. Forgive me, Lord. Titus says this, and it's in two different translations. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, or prepared for every good work. This is Paul telling Titus, this is what you need to tell the believers. Remind people, the Amplified says, to be submissive to their magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work. See, some of us can be prepared. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I've been reading my word, studying my word my whole life. But are you willing? Willing usually means you're going out of your way. Willing usually means you're putting yourself out. Willing usually means you're laying down your own agenda for God's or for someone else. Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to who? Him. So just think about it. You know, that person, like, oh, I don't really want to help them. You could be helping Jesus. To be prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work. 2 Timothy again, 4:1-2. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Again, his return. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Some translations say in season and out of season. patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. Be prepared whether it's a good time or favorable time. Sometimes, I think I might have done this. Jesse shared recently at the men's breakfast, and I think I called him on a Friday night. And I said, hey, bro, can you share with the men tomorrow? He kind of got a little, like he was thinking about it. And I said, I think I mentioned to him, well, in season and out of season. And he goes like, oh, okay. It's like, I wasn't trying to twist his arm, but I was trying to remind him that, he's been reading the word his whole life. He's been prepared. He just needs to have the opportunity. I gave him the opportunity. You're welcome. You are welcome, Jesse, for that opportunity. And there'll be more in the future. He says, get away from me, Pastor. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Sometimes it's not a favorable time. It's not a good time to have to share. Like I said, at work. But if the Holy Spirit's directing you, that is the key. Not because Pastor Mike told you to do it. Not because, you watched a video and someone you said, oh, this is what I did. No, you need the Holy Spirit. If you guys don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit, work on that. Just start saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to start speaking to me. I'm going to give you permission to interrupt my day, interrupt my life. You're saying, well, that sounds pretty bold. You speak to God like that? Yeah. I've asked Holy Spirit to wake me up before. I said, Holy Spirit, for some reason, I forgot an alarm clock and I need to get up at 3 a.m. Will you wake me up at 3 a.m.? Dink. It's 3 a.m. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you're thinking, okay, he's not an alarm clock. No, but he loves us. And do you think he's sleeping? No, he's not sleeping. You ever thought about that? People are going to go home and throw away their alarm clocks. I've got it solved. I've had Holy Spirit remind me when I've forgotten something. And it's like, I go, oh, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, Lord, all the same. Thank you for helping me remember that. Because I would have caused somebody to feel like I don't care for them because I didn't show up in an appointment. But most of my watch is beeping me and buzzing me, and I've got things going off all the time to try to make sure I get to appointments. Be ready in season and out of season. 1 Peter 3:14-16. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason or the reason for the hope that's in you. So how do we get prepared? You have to start getting God's word in you. I don't think I would have moved as far as I have in Christ had the Lord not given me a hunger for his word. And I'm saying the Lord gave me a hunger. Now, did through the years I said, okay, I'm going to devote myself to reading. And yeah, I did that at times. But when I first got saved, man, the word was like this food to me. And I mean, I would stay up till 3 a.m. I'd be reading things. I didn't know what it was. I mean, I didn't know the Bible from, I wasn't raised in I was 19, but it was like, reading through the Proverbs and reading through the New Testament and, marking my Bible up and, doing everything that I thought I needed to do to become more like Jesus. And I didn't even know it at the time. I just wanted to thank him for saving my soul. But it was a hunger that I had in me. And I believed it helped prepare me so that when I had opportunity, I could give a defense to anyone who asked me for the reason of the hope that was in me. Why do you believe, Mike? Well, I believe because it says that Jesus took my sins upon himself and he hung on a cross for me, and he died for me. That's my simple, basic. I didn't have to go to hell. That's how it started, you know. Now I can give you all kinds of theological things and real deep, but sometimes miss the real key point that God loves me and he saved me. And he loves them and he's going to save them if they open their heart. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, well, not completely finally, but almost finally, 1 Corinthians 14:26. This is in the Message. So this is a church service we're talking about now. This is, picture yourself, you're now getting ready on Sunday morning. You know, you're brushing your teeth, hopefully. Maybe taking a shower. Maybe you did the night before, a couple days ago. Who cares? You're coming to church. Okay, you're putting some deodorant on. You're getting ready, you know, you know, for the ladies, they're putting makeup on the way to church while their husband's driving. I don't know. But anyway, you're preparing yourself to come to church, right? Getting your nice clothes on or just, you know, or whatever's clean, however it may be. You're being prepared to come to church. You're maybe, you know, thinking about, you know, a worship song. You start singing in the morning. Does anybody sing worship songs on Sunday morning? I start singing worship songs on Sunday night and Sunday morning. No, I don't do it. I still do it during the week, but it's like, I really focus then. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like, okay, I'm starting to get into the spiritual mode mostly than any other time, you know? And so I'm usually, if I'm listening to in the morning, like a podcast, it's usually like something totally about, you know, the word or whatever it is, trying to set my mind on things above, not on things of this earth, you know, plenty of time to do that during the week, but I'm preparing, right? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Now, do we do that? We really don't. This has been my desire since I can't tell you how long, that the body of Christ would be living and so vibrant that I would just be sometimes just sitting on the front and just saying, amen, praise God. But this is the church. Each one being prepared with something that will be useful for all. Not spectators. People that are actually activated in the body of Christ on Sunday. You know, when you guys take some time, maybe, you know, during the break, the very least, saying, how's your week? How's things going? Someone shares, oh, I'm going through. Let me pray with you. You can do that. You don't have to say, well, let's get the pastor to pray. Because, you know, he knows how to pray. No, you are someone that if you prepare yourself, you'll have something that will be useful for all. What a concept. A body of believers that doesn't just have, you know, one person stealing the show, but that it's each and every one of us. You know, there's a verse also in Ephesians talks about someone singing a spiritual song, someone's giving a message, prophesying. The body of Christ isn't just supposed to be, again, a spectator sport. We're all supposed to be activated. Amen? So now finishing. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. I think Jesus, for whatever reason, was sending a message to whoever was listening at this time that preparation, being ready, was a key. And that a lack of preparation could mean him telling you eventually, I don't know you. Wow. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't want to hear the Lord say that to me. And do I do things to, at times, to keep this from happening? Maybe I have. I try to do everything I do now out of a response of love. He loved me. Now I love him back. And some of the ways I do that is I read my word. I pray. I listen for his voice. There's things that I do to say, I love you, Lord. Because I believe that's the best way to respond in preparedness. But at the very least, if you just make sure you have the oil, the extra oil that you need, that you've been preparing your heart with the word, you've been preparing your heart with spending time with him, you've been preparing your heart learning to hear his voice, then I believe you're not going to hear, I don't know you. But Jesus finished, so you too must keep watch. That watch is like, it's like an alertness. It's like, you know, and remember, all 10 of them were asleep at one point. So even the ones who were prepared and ready to go, they were asleep at one point. But I believe they were still watchful in their hearts because they had everything they needed for any time that he came, we're ready for the journey. Because you don't know the day or hour of my return. This could be our last time we gather. You never know. Could be the last time. And we don't know why. It might not be that we get to meet next week. I remember Gay would get up on Sundays, and she, I think she still does it every now and then, but she would say, let's worship as if this is the last time we get to worship. Maybe when you read your word the next time, you read it as if it could be the last time you read your word. Or when you're in, you know, in a communication with somebody, realize that it might be the last time you get to communicate to them and make it count. I believe if we prepare our hearts with the word, with prayer, that the power of preparation will cause things to happen, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, James.
I choose to love when everything around me screams hate. I choose to heal when I have walked through sorrow and pain. I choose your name, the only name that's worthy of praise. I choose you, Jesus, 'cause I still believe. Through it all, I still believe. You are wonderful. Given up on me.
given up on us. So, Lord, help us never to give up on you. Help us, Lord, to realize that you have prepared so much for us. You prepared a place for us, Lord. You prepared a way, Lord, for us to walk in, even tomorrow, Lord. Help us learn to be ones, Lord, to prepare our hearts. That we prepare our hearts, Lord, like good soil, Lord. Lord, that we prepare our hearts, Lord, with your word. We prepare our hearts, Lord, with setting our minds, Lord, on things above, Lord, not things of this earth. That we would be people, Lord, that would be ready for whatever you call us to, whatever good work you call us to, whatever time you call us to, in whatever season, Lord, help us be prepared people. Just bless everyone here right now, Lord, with a hunger for your word. I bless everyone, Lord, with the desire for the deeper things of God. Lord, I bless them, Lord, with a fire for you, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Love ya. Have a great day.